enjoyed that singing. When you come out of 20-degree weather, you need something to warm you up. And it sure warmed my heart as we sang those songs unto the Lord. I'm always excited when I hear a song that kind of goes right along with the thoughts of my heart. And it's when we sang this, I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord. He gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. Turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll read just two very familiar verses. Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That little phrase starts off with that statement, be careful for nothing. It could also be translated, be anxious for nothing, or don't worry about the things that may be facing you or that you're dealing with. But turn them over to the Lord in prayer. Does anyone ever be anxious? Do you ever have any worries? Well, if not, you might already be in glory. I'm not sure. I know this world has plenty of worries and has plenty of anxieties that come before us. And yet, I want to suggest that that worry and anxiety is the fruit of a deeper thing that the Lord speaks to us of. I believe it's the fruit of fear. Fear in our life, fear in our hearts, will produce that anxious spirit, that worry spirit. And that's something that God gives us some victory over. Fear is a very normal emotion. In fact, God gave us fear. Fear can be a very helpful thing. When we face certain danger, then the fear kicks in and it helps us. If we're going to step off the edge of a cliff and we look down and we say, whoa, you know, and it helps us to not put ourselves in harm's way. Fear is a good emotion. And it's found in Scripture as a good emotion and a negative emotion. You find the word fear some 228 times in the Bible. And in a lot of different situations, in a lot of different contexts, many different settings, we're told to fear not. And we're told to fear. We're told to fear the Lord. And we're told to not fear what men can do unto us. And so you see this blend of using this emotion in a positive way and using the emotion in a negative way. One is very helpful for the Christian life. One is very harmful for the Christian life. Barbara and I were reading through the book of Mark this week for our daily scripture reading, and we both observed the same thing and happened to comment to each other about it. The number of times we ran across the word afraid in the book of Mark. Afraid. It actually occurs seven times. Seven times in the book of Mark we find the word afraid. And I'd like to just go through them quickly and look at a little lesson there that we might find in each one of them without too much comment. And then look at some of the solutions that the Lord gives us in dealing with fear. Go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 is where we find the first reference to fear in this gospel. And it's a very, very interesting setting. Verses 14 and 15 of Mark chapter 5. The setting, the Lord had just healed someone who was a very violent person living in the caves, one who could not be tamed. He was full of unclean spirits, many spirits. And the Lord cast these spirits out. And we see this is the setting as well where he permitted the evil spirits to go into the swine, and they ran violently down the hill. So you're with me with regard to the setting. In verse 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they were afraid. And they basically told the Lord to leave. And I've always wondered about that. You know, why didn't they rejoice? Why weren't they happy that this man, who was basically a lunatic and a very wild, violent, dangerous person, is now sitting, clothed, and in his right mind? And it says they were afraid. Well, I think sometimes we lack an understanding of what God is doing. We lack an understanding of his work. We lack an understanding of what's happening in the things of God and his ways upon this earth. And sometimes it brings a sense of fear to us. And they obviously didn't understand what was going on. Maybe they had some selfish concerns about their agricultural pursuits. We don't know. Maybe they were fearful that the devils would come back into this man, and he would be more violent than what he was before. Whatever the case, they didn't understand the hand of God. They didn't understand the work of God. And so there was an element of fear in their hearts. They were afraid. Go with me to verses 35 and 36 of the same chapter. Chapter 5 and verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? You remember this man came to the Lord and asked him to heal his daughter. And in the meantime, the woman that touched the hem of the garment had delayed the process a little bit. And so we see this ruler's servant coming and saying, don't trouble the master any longer. Your daughter is dead. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Only believe. Only believe. And I think so many times fear comes into our life. We allow fear come into our life because we don't believe what God can do. We don't think that he can do the impossible, that he is the worker of miracles, that he can do anything. And we fail to believe. And when we fail to believe in him, we're going to open up the door for fear to come into our life. And the Lord recognized that. And he said, do not be afraid. Be not afraid. Now go with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verses 49 to 52. Mark 6, 49. The Lord is coming to the disciples as they're in the boat, and he's walking on the water. And it says, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed that it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of courage, or be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Be not afraid. You know, sometimes we have our hearts not focused in the proper direction, and we forget the things of God. And notice what it says in verse 52. It says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, and their heart was hardened. They had forgotten already what the Lord had done. some of the great power and some of the great miracles that have been demonstrated already to them. And now they see the Lord walking in the water. He comes into the ship, and they're afraid. Why are they afraid? Because they forgot who he was. They forgot about his power. They forgot about his great might. And I think sometimes when we lose track of who he is and all that he's done, and we forget and our heart becomes hard, then we allow fear to come into our life. Look at Mark chapter 9, verses 31 and 32. Mark chapter 9, verses 31 and 32. Here you have the setting before us of the Lord speaking to his disciples about what the future held. And it says, "And he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and they were afraid to ask." They understood not the saying, and they were afraid to ask. You know, I think when we get to the point where we fail to understand the things of God, our hearts are maybe focused on something that's more important to us, and we see as we read on that they were actually disputing among themselves as to who would be the greatest. You see, they were focused on self and not focused on the Lord. And when we focus on self instead of being focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, my, how we give opportunity for fear to enter into our lives. Previously, earlier in this chapter, we have another incident in verse 5. The setting is the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter answered in verse 5 and said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make thee three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. Once again, here's fear. And once again, the reason is that they had focused their attention off the Lord. They had focused their attention on the splendor and the glory of the event. They had focused their attention on the fact that Moses was there and Elias was there, and I'm sure that surprised them. You know, here's Moses, here's Elijah standing before them, and they got their eyes off the Lord, and they really didn't know what to say. And it says they were sore afraid. I want to suggest that when we take our eyes off the Lord, we're going to open up the door for fear to come into our life. Simple little lessons that we can find here around this word afraid. Go with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. The Lord is speaking to the disciples here about the future. And we'll begin reading in verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. Can you imagine walking with the Lord and being afraid? That's maybe something that we would say, well, we wouldn't be afraid if we were walking with the Lord. Well, aren't we walking with the Lord today? Don't we have the Holy Spirit within us? Don't we have the full revelation of God's will and all he wants us to know in his word? And yet many times we still find fear in our hearts. And we worry about the future. And this was what they were worrying about as he spoke to them of what would happen to them, of what the future holds in verses 33 and 34. But imagine walking with the Lord and worrying about the future. Well, the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit to calm our hearts and to bring forth that peace that passeth all understanding. Let's look at the last reference to afraid in the book of Mark. It's found in chapter 16. Chapter 16. And it has to do with the resurrection. It says in verse 2, "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And they said unto, and he said unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. And there you shall see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid." They had just been told that the Lord was alive. They had just been told that he had actually raised from the dead as he said he would on the third day. But they were trembling. They were frightened. They left in fear, and their fear was so great that they wouldn't even talk to one another. Can you imagine these women as they were leaving the sepulchre, having been told what they were told, and their mission is now to go tell the other disciples that he is risen? Can you imagine them not talking to one another and saying, "Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this great? He's alive! He's alive!" But fear was still gripping their hearts. Fear was still ruling in their life. And I think sometimes when we have a lack of belief of the truth of Scripture, it opens up the door, doesn't it, for fear to come in. When you look at these seven events in the book of Mark that uses the word afraid, there's some common themes you'll see. The common theme is not trusting in the words of Christ, not looking unto the person of Christ, and not understanding the work of Christ. And I want to suggest that those are the things that if we allow into our life is going to bring that fear into our life. I want you to just, in closing, turn with me to a precious verse in Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm sure this is a verse that's very dear to many of you. It was a life verse that Barbara and I chose as we entered marriage and to live for the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. As you look at this verse, there are three things, first of all, that interfere with us trusting the Lord. The three things are, first of all, our own understanding, our own human logic. We see a situation, and we take that situation into our own understanding. We take that situation into human logic of this fleshly idea of how we think things should be. The second thing that interferes with us trusting the Lord is pride. As we see the thought of leaning to our own understanding and not acknowledging him, being wise in our own eyes, pride. And then the third thing that interferes with us trusting the Lord is not departing from evil, sin. When we allow sin to be resident in our life and in our heart, it's going to interfere with us putting our trust and our faith in the Lord. So those are three things. If we really want to conquer any fear that's in our life, we really want to be trusting the Lord, then we've got to deal with these issues. We've got to deal with recognizing that our human logic isn't always right. And recognizing that pride gets in the way. And recognizing that sin will interfere with trusting the Lord. There are three positive statements that I just want to leave with you with regard to these verses. Three positive statements. The first one is to trust in the Lord. To put your weight, to lean upon Him, to put your confidence in the Lord. And then secondly, the second positive statement that we receive is to acknowledge the ways of the Lord. And in acknowledging the ways of the Lord, we discard the ways of our own human thinking. You see, we know very well that God's ways are not like our ways, that His thoughts are not like our thoughts, that His mind is much higher and broader than our little finite mind that is so failing and not really able to grasp the fullness of the situation. And so we acknowledge that the ways of the Lord are the ways that we should trust. And then the third thing it says is, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Oh, we fear a lot of other things, don't we? We allow all these other things. The seven afraids in the book of Mark show us these other things that we worry about, that we fear about, that we allow to capture our thoughts. And I think that fear can paralyze our Christian life. Fear can paralyze our ability to trust in the Lord. So it's a wonderful thing, as that little psalm that we sang a moment ago said to us, as we sang, I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and He gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky and the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. And we can be assured of that. He won't fail when we put our trust and our faith in Him. So this evening, if you're dealing with some fears in life, that worry, that anxiety can be exchanged for perfect peace and calmness from the Lord Himself as we put our trust in Him. You know, we trust Him for salvation. Why not trust Him for every day? We trust Him for eternity. Why not trust Him for the simple things of everyday life? We can do that if we're willing to put our faith in Him. Shall we just pray? Our Father, we just thank You that You are trustworthy. We're thankful that Your Son is trustworthy. We're thankful that we can turn these things over to the Lord, that these worries and fears that sometimes we hold on to, we can cast at Your feet. And then we can walk away, leaving them there, and know Your peace that can rule within our hearts and lives as we acknowledge that Your ways are best, not our ways. Lord, we pray that the truth of these verses may truly impact our life, have a positive way in our life for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.